In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. Easier said than done, right? We have to learn to think spiritually. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, continuing my talks today on Amy Carmichael and her poetry. Yesterday, I read a little bit about her beginning missionary life. She started out in Japan in the early 1890s, and then she ended up, after 1 year in Japan, in India in 1895, and she stayed there for 55 years. She died in India, never having had a furlough. Can you imagine? In this day and age, when it's so easy to travel home, you can go all the way around the world just for a weekend or for Christmas or for summer vacation. Well, when missionaries left home in those days, it took them sometimes months to get to the country where they were going. And when they got there, things were certainly not as easy as they are for us today. She told us in the letter that I had been reading from Dust of Gold, which is the prayer letter published several times a year by the Donavur Fellowship in South India. She was describing the early itinerating that she did with a band of Indian women. She uses the word band. It means just a group. She doesn't mean that they were playing musical instruments most of the time, although they did have some. She says, "The afternoons and evenings of those years were spent much as in the mornings. Sometimes we would get out at the entrance of a village and walk on till we saw a friendly face, and we almost always found one. We usually separated then, went two and two, and won our way past the men who would be sauntering in the front courtyard, and so penetrated to the women's rooms. Or, if that proved impossible, we held an open-air meeting somewhere, or sat down wherever we could and waited till someone came to talk. For we found, at festivals, for example, that if we waited in some quiet street, sitting apparently unconcerned, on a deserted veranda or under a tree, that one by one people discovered us and came and squatted down beside us and asked questions. Once, for a period which seemed ages long, we were shut out of the homes of the people, because some of them had believed our report. When we went to the villages where this had happened, we were pelted with ashes and rotten garlands from the necks of the idols. One day a great crowd drew round us and shouted its sentiments and made a most unholy racket. We stood under a burning sun till we were too tired to stand any longer. Then, as there was nothing else to be done, we knelt down in the middle of the rabble and prayed for it, after which it let us go." Now let me read her poem, "My Quietness." She must have learned to find quietness in the midst of racket and heat and weariness. This is the poem. "O thou who art my quietness, my deep repose, my rest from strife of tongues, my holy hill, fair is thy pavilion where I hold me still. Back let them fall from me, my clamorous foes, confusions multiplied. From crowding things of sense I flee, and in thee hide. Until this tyranny be overpast, thy hand will hold me fast. What though the tumult of the storm increase? Grant to thy servant strength, O Lord, and bless with peace." And I feel quite sure that Amy took those words from Psalm 31, verse 20. In the King James Version, it says, "Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion, which means a cover or a shelter or an enclosure, a safe place. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a safe place from the strife of tongues. In your dwelling, you keep them safe from accusing tongues, another translation says. So if there's someone listening to me today who has been criticized or lied about or argued with, that strife of tongues, which can be so upsetting and just destroys our peace, Amy Carmichael knew what that was like. She was often criticized. And so she wrote, O thou who art my quietness, my deep repose. From crowding things of sense I flee and in thee hide. Until this tyranny be overpast, thy hand will hold me fast. What though the tumult of the storm increase? Grant to thy servant strength, O Lord, and bless with peace. Most of the years of her life in India, she had a large compound with many children. And so here's a poem which must have come from those very difficult but very joyful years when God gave her the privilege of being the mother of hundreds of rescued Indian children who might otherwise have been committed to the Hindu temples for the purposes of prostitution and homosexuality. This poem is called In Any House, and so I hope it will apply to yours. Said one whose yoke was that of common folk, would that I were like Saint Cecilia, and could invent some goodly instrument, passing all yet contrived, to worship thee, and send a love song singing over land and sea. But when I seem almost to touch my dream, I hear a call, persistent, though so small, the which, if I ignore, clamors about my door and bids me run to meet some human need. Meanwhile, my dream drifts off like down of thistle seed. A sound of gentle stillness stirred and said, my child, be comforted. Dear is the offering of melody, but dearer far love's lowliest ministry. I cannot think of any more lowly ministry of love than that of being a mother. So I want to encourage all you mothers, especially you mothers who are able to stay home, to remember that although you may not be able to tune an instrument like Saint Cecilia and make beautiful music, or you may not have a visible position of ministry in your church, remember that the word ministry means service. When Jesus got down on his knees and washed the feet of the disciples and dried them with a towel, that was love's lowliest ministry. He who was Lord of the universe did that. Be encouraged by this poem, In Any House. The person is wishing that she were like Saint Cecilia, and then, just when she almost thinks that she touches the dream of being a musician, she hears a call, persistent though so small, the which, if I ignore, clamors about my door and bids me run to meet some human need. You know how that feels, don't you? And to you mothers who are not able to stay at home, let me give you this poem. In Any Office, that's the title. My potter's busy wheel is where I see a desk and office chair, and well I know the Lord is there. And all my work is for a king who gives his potter songs to sing, contented songs, through everything. And nothing is too small to tell to him with whom his potters dwell, my counselor, Emmanuel. Master, Thy choice is good to me. It is a happy thing to be here in my office, here with thee. Shall I read that one again? My potter's busy wheel is where I see a desk and office chair, and well I know the Lord is there. And all my work is for a king who gives his potter songs to sing, contented songs through everything. And nothing is too small to tell to him with whom his potters dwell, my counselor, Emmanuel. Master, thy choice is good to me. It is a happy thing to be here in my office, here with thee. And for any who may feel that everything they did for God came to dust, here's a poem called The End. Will not the end explain the crossed endeavor, earnest purpose foiled, the strange bewilderment of good work spoiled, the clinging weariness, the inward strain? Will not the end explain? Meanwhile, he comforteth them that are losing patience. 'Tis his way. But none can write the words they hear him say for men to read. Only they know he saith kind words and comforteth. Not that he doth explain the mystery that baffleth, but a sense husheth the quiet heart, that far, far hence lieth a field set thick with golden grain, wetted in seedling days by many a rain. The end, it will explain.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.